is Mother's Day, and you know, those 2 days may become very quickly politically incorrect for us to celebrate, but I think we should always celebrate fathers, and we should always celebrate mothers, we should always celebrate families, we should always do that, and so we always will, regardless of what some of the various groups around our Western world want to pressure us into doing. I don't think we ever win by watering down the honor of those positions that are held by people. And so today being Father's Day, I want to speak to the fathers in the house today, but I also want to speak to men in general, and I want to speak to women, and I want to speak to children. I want to speak to everybody today, because I think it's important that everybody understands some of the things that we value as a church, and particularly for fathers. Can I preface what I want to say by saying this, that I am very aware that today is not an easy day for some people because of their experience in regards to fathers, because of the fact that you may have lost a father or you may not have a father. And I know it's a challenging day, and I really do feel for people in these moments, and I know it's difficult sometimes to gather in these moments. So I really appreciate your bravery in terms of your participation today with us in terms of celebrating Father's Day. You know, the truth is, when it comes to men, and I am a man, so I speak on behalf of men today, when it comes to men, and particularly in their role of being a father, I think many men really feel a sense of failure in terms of being a father. And I say that simply because there's so many pressures and responsibilities that fathers carry or may have carried earlier on in their lives. There's so many expectations, and often fathers can have that lingering feeling that I haven't been enough, or I haven't been there enough, or I haven't provided enough for children, the children of the family, or for your family. And it's a real challenge to hold the tension of responsibilities that we host as fathers. There's nothing simple in being a father, as there's nothing simple in being a mother. And so what happens for most men is they tend to downplay, they tend to downshift their own sense of value to their family and to others. So I want to declare today to every man in the house today that you are a champion today, and you need to cast aside feelings of inadequacies, feelings of I'm not valued, feelings of I'm not important, because you are. And nobody gets it absolutely perfect. Every man makes mistakes. Every father has goof-ups. Every father has seasons of regrets for the way that we may have done the journey or may have not done the journey. Let all of those feelings and negative emotions go today, and just enjoy being the amazing dad that you are and the value that you bring to your families. And I'm sure the value that you bring is much more than the value that you think you bring. I'm absolutely convinced of that. I know for me that being a father is one of the favorite roles that I play. I wear many hats. And it's not always easy, and it certainly hasn't always been easy to wear the various hats that I wear. And that's because I'm kind of public property, and so I kind of belong to everybody. And that tension is a tension and a weight and a burden I've had to walk with for many decades in terms of my family, and at times and seasons not being there for my own household and family because I was there for other households and families and people's circumstances and situations. Because there's a lot that pastors do and church leaders do that people are often not aware of. For instance, last night our pastors were at a hospital with Tracy, who's a much loved member of our church. Her mum is passing away right as I speak, and so we spent hours there last night with Tracy and her mum before she was going into palliative care, and then phone calls throughout the night leading up to this morning. And so we're often called to the emergencies of life like other people are. So we're not complaining that are involved in, you know, like doctors and whatever. So we feel this tension as pastors in terms of our own family, our own loved ones, and then the loved ones of others, because we love all the faces, but there's some special faces here that we love that are our family. And I know for my children, Danielle and Jared are here today, which I'm so thrilled about. Rebecca in Melbourne, they are very special to us. We're very proud of our children, every one of them, no matter who they are or what they do in life. There's a hole in here that makes us very proud of them. And so being a dad is one of my favorite things to be, because when I'm dad, I'm just me. I don't have to get dressed up in a monkey suit for them, although I have dressed up in various things for them over the years, which shall not be mentioned in public. But it's just a good deal being a dad. So congratulations to all the dads today. I know the goal of every dad is to be someone that would add value. Someone that would add value in every space of life that they're involved in, where they would be a blessing. So they add. Every dad wants to add value to their family. We want to add value to our friends. We want to add value in our workplace, our career, our business, and have that sense of feeling valued there. We want to add value to our church. I know that every believing dad wants to be involved in a church where they add value, and they know that they are counted on, and they know that they are needed, and they know that they bring blessing. And I want every dad to feel that in regards to our responsibilities here around the house. And all of those desires are God-placed. They're placed by God in us and on us to help us be leaders within our family and also leaders within church life. And that in no way negates the leadership of women. I'm a great believer in the leadership of women in the home and also in the church and in secular community. I believe in the equality of what God has created. I don't believe anyone is better than the other. I believe we just have different roles and different responsibility. And I am so thankful that God has given women certain roles that He has not given to men. I am so glad about that. We don't want that. We're happy for you to have that. But together we have amazing strength as men and women. So today I want to talk to us about Father's heart, the Father's heart for the house, that being your house and that also being this house, being the family that you build, the home that you live in, the people that you call your own, and then also this house being the house of God, where we also need fathers. The Apostle Paul, he addresses it to the Corinthian church because they had a problem in the early church, and that problem was they had a lot of people that wanted a podium. I didn't use a microphone because they didn't have microphones in those days, but they had podiums. They had a lot of people that want a podium, and so in other words, they want to teach. They want to be presenting. They want to be talking. They want to be leading people that way. And Paul says, you need something else rather than that. He says, for even if you have 10,000 others to teach you about Christ, you have only one spiritual father, because I became your father in Christ Jesus when I preached the gospel to you. What Paul is saying, he's saying that there's a lot of people putting their hand up to teach you, But he says, I am your spiritual father. In other words, I'm the one that gets in and does the hard yards behind the scenes that others don't see, don't appreciate. I'm the one that actually disciples you. I'm the one that wants the best for you. Not just someone to instruct you, but someone to nurture you, someone to admonish you, someone to even rebuke you, someone to correct you, someone to cheer you on. Paul's saying, I want to be all of those things. This is what it says in the Message Bible, and I really love the way it presents it. Paul, it says, I'm writing as a father to you, my children. I love you, and I want you to grow up well, not spoiled. Every father wants that. You want your kids to grow up well. You don't want them to be spoiled brats. You want them to be people that will input well into the community. It says, there are a lot of people around who can't wait to tell you what you've done wrong. But there aren't many fathers willing to take the time and the effort to help you grow up. It was as Jesus helped me proclaim God's message to you that I became your father. You know, not every man that becomes a Christian or a believer becomes a father in the house of the church. Not every man naturally follows that pathway. And Paul is saying we need more that will follow that pathway. We need more men, particularly in the house of God, to be those that won't just teach, those that won't just preach, those that won't just instruct, but those that will get their hands dirty and will, by example, lead the way for the sons and daughters of the house. And Paul says, I'm one of them, and he gives an invitation for us all to take up that challenge. And so today, let's talk about some things that fathers bring to the house they live in and also the house of God. And it's an invitation today for us to be the kind of father that our Heavenly Father is. These are things, the things I'm going to talk about today are the kind of things that God our Father has done for us and that He continually does for us. Because the rule of life is, you're not just a father up until the point your children leave home. I thought that was the deal. I thought, everyone say, I thought. I know you did. So I thought that when you signed up for this deal of having children, that when they turned 18, they left the house, they were responsible for themselves, they would then be adults, and you just get on with this fantastic life, kid-free. However, I have discovered that once you're a father, you're always a father. You never get to retire. And I think that's why they call fathers who have children that have children grandfathers. And I am a grandfather. A grandfather. Not just because I have six grandchildren, but because I've been doing this for a long time. Anyone else in the room been doing it for a long time? Been doing it for a long time. And I love it. And I got to be honest with you, I probably feel a better father now than I was many years ago when they were little. Because when they were little, I didn't know what to do with them. I honestly didn't. I mean, when I went to the hospital and they presented this little thing to us, it's like, what's that? What am I supposed to do with that thing? I can't even sit up straight, can't talk, can't walk, can't clean up after itself, can't mow the lawn. I mean, come on. It took a long time for me to get with the program. Anyone else a little bit slow on getting with the program? Any guys? Yeah, I think for some of us, it's just, let's blame it on being a man thing. It's a man thing, takes us a while to get with the program. Here's some thoughts I have for us today about what I think a father's heart is for your house and also the house of God. Number one, a father's heart is present and participating. I think there's a cry for men in the church and men in the home to be present and participating in regards to their family, which there's a tension involved in all of that. You know, this generation now, a lot of men in this generation are making decisions to delay their commitments in regards to things like career, relationships, starting a family, delaying those responsibilities. And in an unprecedented way and at an unprecedented level, so much so that psychologists have put a tag on it and a name on what they're doing and this practice of delayed commitment about career choices and also relational commitments. They've coined the phrase the Peter Pan syndrome, and they're labeling that of this generation with all this sense of delayed commitment. Now, this kind of social change in our young men, it's not all harmful, but what it does create is and can certainly be harmful, because what they're doing is taking on lifestyles and patterns that lack real accountability and real responsibility, and they're living lives of self-indulgence and self-serving lifestyles, and they're exchanging the very best years of their life for things that are really not of eternal value in terms of that. So many of these young men produce children, but they never learn to become fathers. Just because you produce children does not make you a father. A father is beyond someone that just creates children. A father is someone that helps those children and others grow and develop and find their way in life and their significance in life. And that's the kind of fathers today that we want to celebrate. Fathers that I want to celebrate today are fathers that really undervalue often their contribution to their family today. Fathers that think, well, you know, I may not have done the best job. I'm here to help lift your head today in terms of the job that you have actually done, because I think for many of us, we were more present and more participating than we actually thought we were. Because often, traditionally, certainly traditionally the way that I grew up, men often were more in the workplace working and earning and providing and couldn't be at home because of the responsibilities that they carried financially. And so men, we make a significant difference by both our presence or our absence. A significant difference. And I want to charge every man in the room today. I want to call every father out today to really take note of one of the great needs of our world today is for fathers to be present and participating, for fathers to be setting an example both in the church and also in the home. For men in the church today, just the fact that you show up, just the fact that you lift your hands in worship, just the fact that you serve and participate and give, just the fact that you're here and strengthening the house is an example to every little child, every young man, every growing man that's coming into adulthood. They're watching you. They're watching men in the church. And I hope they can look at some of the men in our church and go, I want to be just like them. I want to be just like them. I've certainly had those examples around my world, and I pray that those that follow in our footsteps could find that example also. If there's one man in the Bible that really pops out for me in terms of being a father and being a leader, if this man could be here today, if he could preach to us today, I'd love to invite him to come. But he can't be here, but his words are here. His word and his life is here because it's recorded in the Bible. He was a man of amazing courage. He was a leader for the children of Israel, and he led them into the promised land. He willingly faced the challenges and the difficulties that he and they had to face to get into the promised land. He was a man of integrity. He was a man you could trust with your life, and an entire nation was willing to put their lives in his hands as a leader. He was a man of conviction. What he believed was no secret. What he believed, he proclaimed. And he didn't have the slightest hint of wavering in his faith. So Joshua is his name, and he can't be here today, but his message is. It's a message that he preached when he was about 110 years of age, just before he transitioned from life to death. So just before he died, he presented this message. It wasn't just any message. It was his last will and testament to the people that he loved. And there was one great truth that he wanted to bring them and leave with those that were his most loved and most dearest. And he directed this message to the other fathers of Israel. And he spoke to all the men, the up-and-coming leaders, and the other men that had stood with him. And Joshua said this to these fathers. He said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to stand up and we are going to be known for serving the Lord." And then he turned to them and he said, "Now I want you to make a choice who you are going to serve. And I want you to be accountable for who you are going to serve, because who you are going to serve is going to determine the future of this tribe. And so men, make your choice today. Stand up and be counted today. Stand up and be that example today." So Joshua confronted them. He confronted them with a choice for their devotion, and he told them to stop worshiping the other idols and stop giving themselves to things of no eternal value. And he charged them to live for the primary purpose of loving God and serving God and leading their families in a godly way. Joshua was a father, he was a leader, he was a man with a plan, and people trusted him to lead them into the promises and purposes of God. He was present and he was participating and he was rounding up others to do those same two things. So I'm here today to put a call out to every man in the house today to make this kind of verse your kind of life verse, that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The first thing I think that is a reflection of the Father's heart for their house and the house of God is to be accountable for your choice to stand up and be a man and lead your home and also lead the house of God. Secondly, a father's heart proclaims both affirmation and approval. One of the most amazing verses to me in the Bible is when Jesus was being baptized. And as Jesus is being baptized in the Jordan River, the Bible talks about this heavenly voice booming from the heavens. Now, I want you to imagine this. Here we are at a river, and we're baptizing Jesus like we do in church here when we baptize people. So John the Baptist is baptizing Jesus next minute from the heavens. I mean, how often do you hear a voice from the heavens, number one? And a booming voice screaming out, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." I love the sense of approval, the sense of validation, the sense of affirmation that God the Father brings to his Son. It's kind of like a parent at a sports day for their children. Have you ever been that parent or seen that parent who's on the sideline and their son or their daughter is in the race and you're letting everyone know, "That's my boy. That's my girl. That's my son. That's my daughter in whom I am well pleased." You know, I think our sons and daughters really need to hear a voice of affirmation and a voice of approval. And we need to hear it in the home, but not only in the home, we need to hear it in the church. In the church, dads, mums, big people, we need to be making sure we're giving voice to our younger generation, to young kids, to children, to teenagers, to young adults, that we're proud of them, that we cheer them on, that we're their biggest supporters, give them some affirmation, some approval, and proclaim it. And you don't do that softly. You do it loud and proud. Do it loud and proud. If you're going to tell someone you're proud of them, tell everyone you're proud of them. Don't pull them over into a corner and just whisper, "I'm really proud of you. I really appreciate what you do. You are amazing. You're the best at what you do. I love the heart." When you tell someone that you're proud of them, do it. The only time the Bible tells you to be quiet is when you're praying. It says, when you pray, go into your closet, shut the closet door, and pray. Don't yell it out in the streets like all the Pharisees and the fakers do. Get with your Father alone. But when you're celebrating someone, I mean, if you're going to celebrate me, celebrate me. I want to hear it. I want to see it. I want to feel it. Yes, we used to have a rule in church years ago that if you're going to clap, we all clap. Like, there's nothing worse in church than the three people clap. That awkward clap, you know, that someone starts to clap, it's like, and a second person jumps in, and the third because they're feeling guilty, but no one else is excited enough to clap. That's just the worst thing ever, that clap. But the best clap is when you clap and cheer and everyone claps. Why don't we try that? Why don't everyone clap and cheer? See, that feels a whole lot better. Now, in contrast, let's do the three people clap. If I can just have three people just clap. Yeah, that's hard, isn't it? That's really harsh. That's like being at the football and your team's really struggling. You want to motivate them, but you just got nothing left in the tank. So three people, give it a go. So I think that culture should be reintroduced in our church, and that if we cheer and we clap, let's all do it, because it just blows wind up people's pipes, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing to do that. That's what fathers do. Fathers do that. We do that for our children. We do that for those that we are responsible for, and we want to be loud and proud in terms of their participation in what they're doing, what we're doing with them. When fathers are actively involved in terms of affirmation and approval, and when we're actively involved in the house of God, we create an atmosphere of affirmation and approval and belonging for others. For instance, when we have men on the door, or women, when we have men on the door welcoming people and serving and involved in various ways in terms of ministries, what you do is you have the opportunity to cheer others on. You have the opportunity to celebrate those that you're leading. And we need that kind of approval taking place in our house. One of the things I love about churches, I love the fact that it gives the opportunity for men to be fathers to others in terms of just caring for others, just setting an example for others, just getting alongside of others, just praying for others. I think that adds great value to the house. Can I speak to the girls for a moment? Thank you. I got permission from one girl, and so I'm going to speak to all the girls for a moment. Girls, if you're not married, or if you are married, let me say this. If you're married to a man, and that's a good thing. If you're married to a man, if you're blessed enough to have a man who loves the house of God and serves in the house of God, can I ask you not to complain about his time and devotion to the house of God? Can I ask you not to complain about that and the energy and the effort that he gives to the house of God? That in no way negates his responsibilities. You let me know if he's not carrying those out, and we'll pay a brotherly visit. Like, that's what would happen in the early church. They would send the brothers around, and the brothers would have a conversation. So we can arrange that if that's required, if that's needed. But in terms of their devotion in the house of God, can you not be a doorstop or a handbrake for him? Can you not nag him? Can you not try and diminish his devotion to that? Because your man needs a cause. He needs a cause to live for. He needs a cause to die for. He needs a cause, not only his family, but also the family of God also. Men don't do well when they don't have a cause to live or die for. It's the way that we are wired. It's the way that we are designed. It's how God has made us. So don't try and make your man housebound. It will kill the masculinity that's in him. When you try and rein in your man and make him housebound, if you try and retain your man, restrain your man, you will retard your man. That's what will happen if you do that. So if you have a husband who loves God, who loves the house of God and the things of God and wants to make a difference, can I say to you, you're a very blessed woman. You are a very blessed woman, because you have a man that loves God, loves the house of God, loves the things of God. So cheer him on with what he does with that. And if he's not doing what he should be doing at home, just let us know and we'll send the brothers around. Thirdly, I could be in trouble after this. A father's heart is to be a relentless provider. This is what dads do. We are relentless providers. And I know many mums are also relentless providers because that's the way of life nowadays. But for men, it's part of the role and responsibility, not just the role, the responsibility that we have. So girls, when you're looking for a man, if you're looking for a man, if you want a man to be your man of the future, if he takes you out on a date and he wants you to pay your share, that's not the guy for you. I'm just telling you. I don't care what standards are today. If he wants you to pay, that's a fair indication. Grab your handbag and run at that point. Because El Stingy is not for you. And so if he rings you up and he says, can I take you on a date again? Just say no. My pastor said I'm not allowed. That's it, because he's not the kind of man you want to wake up to for the rest of your life, and you'll be paying for it forever if you pay for it up front. And so make him pay. Everyone say, make him pay. I know girls are really good at that. Make him pay. Make him pay. It's part of the Peter Pan syndrome, because for him, it's all about him. It's all about him, and he's not ready for commitment. Fathers, what we do is we embrace the responsibility to be a provider for the people that we love. We actually take pride in providing for the people that we love. I love the ingenuity of fathers. I love the entrepreneurial spirit that is on men. I love the fact that some men work not only one job, but even a second job to provide for their family, to help them buy a house and move ahead financially. I love the fact that some men have side hustles and do things, and like I do with some friends of mine, buy cars secondhand and sell them just to make a few dollars to help me do what I do, what we do, and what we want to do with the house of God, and to give. And so when it comes to like church offerings, tithing is just something that we've done forever and have always done and love doing that. Then things like missions offerings or our legacy offering that we take up once a year, that big one, always thinking about that offering in terms of our personal participation. So I try and do all sorts of things to prepare myself for that. I'm just not leading up to October and thinking, wow, I wonder what I'm going to do or how we're going to do this. My mind is actively creating opportunities. And so I will buy things, I will sell things, I will invest in things, I will do all kinds of things. Some things work, some things don't. Just keep moving, just keep going, because I know God has a calling on me to be a relentless provider for my house, but not only for my house, also for this house. Fathers understand that we carry this responsibility to be relentless providers. So we don't complain about it in our home. We go to work with a good attitude. We do everything that we can. We provide in the house of God also with a good attitude. And we don't think, oh, not another offering. No, we take up the responsibility seriously to do what we do and to do it the very best way that we can. I can remember seasons in our life and for our family, and particularly when we started our church and pioneered it, when, you know, there wasn't a lot of money around. And so in terms of what the church could remunerate us, because when you start a church, you don't actually have people, you have yourself. And it was pretty hard to convince Cheryl to give. And, you know, Jared and Danielle and Rebecca, I mean, they were only about 8 years of age, so they weren't giving much at all. So they had to respond to every altar call baptism and whatever. And thankfully, some people come. And so then, you know, the church starts to remunerate the pastor a little bit, which is nice. But I worked other jobs. And so I think for the first 8 years, I was doing church. And then I was also working a job full time. And I've always done just whatever needed to be done because I had a family to provide for. That's why. And not only that, I had a church I wanted to be a father too, and I wanted to lead it in terms of giving. And I've never been backward in that. Never been backward in that. Since day dot that I've been a pastor, I've always wanted to be a significant giver in the life of the church. If I was asking you to give towards something, I would always make sure that I and we were giving significantly towards that, if not leading the way, being very close to leading the way in terms of that responsibility. And I want you to know that about my team. My team are exactly the same. Exactly the same. I won't allow anyone to stand up here and talk to you about an offering that I have no confidence when, with regards to their giving. Because I know if they're going to stand up here and appeal to us, that we want confidence that they're involved with us. I think that's important. And this is what fathers do. Fathers are relentless providers. So Dad, when you're going to work and you're doing your night shift and you're tired and you're worn out, understand it's part of your calling, it's part of your responsibility, it's part of the gift of God on your life to provide for your family. And that provision will be required for the rest of your life. And so you exercise great wisdom, you invest well. You invest well. You invest your life well, you invest your time well, you invest your energy well, you get yourself as educated as you possibly can. If you're digging holes and you don't like it, go to night school. Do some courses. Get yourself developed. If you don't like your job, put yourself in a position where you can get a better job. That's what dads do. Dads grow. Dads develop. Dads look for opportunities because we know we have the responsibility to be a relentless provider. And then lastly, and this is my favorite one of all the responsibilities of being a father, both in this house and also in my own house, a father's heart is to be a protective warrior. A protective warrior. And this is a calling actually on both father and mother to be a protective warrior. But I think for a man, it's one of the primary responsibilities that God calls a man to have. And in regards to this house here, the church, not everyone that comes to church comes with pure motives. And I've been around long enough to know that and understand that. I've been around long enough to meet numbers of predators when it comes to their involvement in church life. And I have a pretty big high radar when it comes to predatorial spirit that some people have in regards to the house of God. I've met them, and sometimes as soon as I meet someone, there's just like that thing in my spirit that something's not right here. I've had men turn up that demanded to be involved in children's ministries who I would not let within 100 yards of children. And it's part of the gifting, and it's part of the leadership, and it's part of the authority that are on men to be ever watchful. To be ever watchful. When my daughters were growing up, I had eyes everywhere. Eyes everywhere. I watched everybody. I watched everything. I do that in church life, and I just think that's what men do. So men, do that. Be that. Be that for your family. It's a protective thing that we bring. It's a protective thing. This whole protective thing is, I think it's something that's instilled in us at a young age. I remember growing up in our home, my dad worked shift work and was often away from the home. I always felt a whole lot safer when dad was in the home, when dad's presence was in the home. Just knowing that dad was around, because I looked up to my dad. He was a big man. He was 6'3½", much taller than I. He had a presence about him, had an authority about him. And I felt safe when he was in the home because I was little and looked up to him and he was big. And there's a safety around him. Now that I am that man, I understand that just because you're big doesn't necessarily mean you're brave. Because I know others feel safe when I'm in the home, but I feel safe having them in the home. Because if anyone comes and chases me, it's like, take the little ones. When we were in the Philippines, we were walking across a farm and there were some carabao there. They're big bulls with big horns. And there were some Brahmin bulls. They had them tied up, which was fortunate, but the rope was pretty loose and they had a fair bit of run on them. So they'd probably run from here to the sound desk. I was there with my good friend, Heath. We're walking. And one of these bulls got a bit frisky. And you could see it just changing its posture. Started to run. I looked at Heath. Heath looked at me. And I was most disappointed. Because I was there. You know, I'm Heath's senior pastor. I'm older than he is. I assumed he would be my protector. I assumed he would take one for the team. But he just looked at me and said, all I've got to do is outrun you. Fortunately, we were okay. But I thought he was a better man than that. I thought he'd be a protective warrior. In jest, I say that because he looked after me the whole way. He did. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful for brothers that look after brothers, for men that look after men. I'd like every man in the room to stand, if you would, please. Every man in the room, if you would stand. No matter what your age is, if you would stand for me for just a moment. I want to ask you to be man about the house. I want to ask you to be one that would have that kind of father's heart for your family, but also our house, for what God's doing, that you would be a protective warrior. It's part of who God has made you, a protective warrior, that you would be a relentless provider in terms of the responsibilities that you carry, that you would always proclaim affirmation and approval, that you would proclaim that loud and proud, that when we worship, that your worship would be loud and proud to heaven. You'd be unashamedly lifting your hands and leading the way by example, and that you would be present and participating and not be an absent father. Because when you're present, when you're in the room, there's a whole lot of little people that look up to you and they feel, it's okay, the boys are here. It's a good feeling. So I'm calling all men to step up and be a father. Even if you're not a father, be a father. There are young children in this house that don't, for whatever reason, have a father in their world. And you can keep an eye out for them. You can do what dads do. You can give them some pocket money every now and then. You can ask them how their schooling's going. You can just get involved in various ways. That would be a good thing to do. So to all the dads today, we celebrate you, we honor you, we say thank you for being you. Thank you for being the amazing father and man that you are. And I want to encourage you, don't grow weary in doing good. Don't go weary in what you do, because the day of blessing is coming for you as a father, as a man, as a husband, as a businessman, as a worker, whatever it is that you do as a church leader, the blessing and the goodness and the favor of God. You amaze me with your consistency. You move me with your sacrifice, and you bless our house and your house by nature of being the father that you are. So be that protective warrior for the family of God and your own family. Be present, be participating, proclaim your affirmation and approval, be that relentless warrior, and be the man that God has called you to be. And like Joshua, I stand in front of you today, and I declare that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I ask you to make the same kind of commitment to be that one. Because that's what our church needs. That's what our world needs. That's what your family needs you to be. Father, I thank you today for all the boys. We love all the men of our house today. They are champions today. Some of them are rugged. Some of them are loud. Some are soft. Some are tender. Some are encouragers, some are leaders, some are sports focused, some are business focused. Whatever their makeup is, we thank you for them. We celebrate them today. We honor them today, Father. And we thank you for the strength they bring to our house. They are a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we all stand today? Right across the hall. I want to sing that song, The Blessing, if we can do that. I want to start it just at the chorus of amen. It's the blessing that God told the priests to bless the people with. And I want us to be blessed by the hand of God today. I want you to know the favor of God upon you and his face turning towards you today and giving you strength to be who you are. Let's hear it. Says this, and I want to prophesy this to every man in the room today that's a father that has trouble in his family. For every father who feels disconnected from his children, and there's distance, and there's isolation, there's brokenness of relationship, maybe they're not talking to you, not walking with you. I want to declare to you today, I want to prophesy what the prophet said about the last days. It says that in the last days, it's the last prophecy of the Old Testament. It says that in the last days, that God will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. And I want to declare and prophesy to every struggling father today to hold with confidence that thought, that word, that scripture for you personally, that God will continue to turn your heart towards your children and your children's hearts will be turned towards you in the last days, is what the Lord said. And I pray for that to be a fulfillment over your circumstance and your situation. So don't give up today. Don't walk away today. Don't close the door today. Don't think it's a sealed deal today. Don't let yourself down in that position. But uplift yourself with the word of God today, that God will turn it. God will turn it around. In the last days, he said, I will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and I will turn the hearts of the children to their fathers. God, do that, I pray, in Jesus' name. For every father in the house today, for all the disappointment, all the discouragement, all the despair that they have lived with, take it away in these last days. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, Holy Spirit. Kids, God bless you. Have an amazing week. Dads, we got some special hospitality for you today. Go and enjoy. God bless you. Thank you for being with us today on your special day. Thank you.